Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on something that a lot of people probably don't think about. The critical, often unseen infrastructure that actually ensures hunting access and rights can even continue in the United States.
Yeah, it's not just about tradition, is it? It's a formalized industry now. It requires some serious legal and, frankly, political defense.
Exactly. And the source material we have today really gets to the heart of that. It's a statement from the American Hunting Lease Association.
The AHLA.
Right, the AHLA, about their continued support for another group, the Sportsman's Alliance, or SA.
And this gives us a perfect lens because you have this fascinating mix of sort of risk management on one side and straight up advocacy on the other.
So our mission for this deep dive is to really unpack how this alliance works. How it's strategically designed to provide stability for landowners and preserve that access for hunters.
In an environment where, let's be honest, that access is increasingly under threat.
The material itself starts off pretty straightforward. AHLA is confirming their support for the Sportsman's Alliance. But what I found interesting was the time frame.
Oh, yeah. The longevity.
This isn't a new thing. The partnership has been going strong since 2018.
So 7 years now. And that duration... And it tells you something. This isn't just a simple donation or a bit of philanthropy.
Foundational.
It's foundational.
Yep.
Exactly. It's a strategic, two-pronged approach.
Yeah.
You have AHLA handling the practical stuff, the operational and financial risks of land access.
The leases, the insurance.
Right. Yeah. And then you have the SA handling the constant legislative and judicial battles that, you know, keep the activity legal in the first place.
Okay, so let's start there with the practical foundation, the American Hunt and Lease Association.
Yeah, you
so you're created back in 2010 to specifically tackle the complexities of the hunting lease industry. So what's their core role?
Well, it's really about professionalizing access. Mm-hmm. I mean, before organizations like AHLA came along, the hunting lease market was, it was often just informal.
A handshake deal.
A handshake deal, exactly. And super high risk. So AHLA's explicit mission is to educate landowners and hunters on the benefits of a properly executed hunting lease.
And that phrase, properly executed, really says it all, doesn't it?
It's everything. It speaks to their core belief that the relationship between the hunter and the landowner is absolutely central.
Not just for the transaction, but for preserving the habitat itself. And maybe most importantly, making sure hunters can access that property safely.
Safely and legitimately. And that leads right into the tangible things they provide. They're a resource hub. They offer free educational tools for leasing.
And I saw this in the source-free lease agreement template.
Which is huge. Just standardizing that paperwork is a massive step in formalizing the whole arrangement.
Okay, so templates are one thing, but it really looks like insurance is the true backbone here. Why is liability insurance so central to their whole model?
Because without it, the entire professional leasing market just collapses. Think about it. If you're a landowner with a large piece of property, you are not going to open it up to groups of hunters if one accident could mean financial ruin. It's just not worth the risk.
So AHLA steps in.
They step in by providing what their materials describe as the most affordable and extensive hunting liability insurance policies on the market.
And it covers both sides, right? The hunters and the landowners.
Both sides of the transaction. They have specialized insurance for hunting clubs and outfitters, and also for the landowners themselves, even including vacant land liability protection.
So they're essentially selling peace of mind. They're professionalizing the risk.
That's a good way to put it.
But I do have to wonder, as you formalize this, you know, with contracts and insurance, does that risk-making hunting less accessible for the casual hunter, the person who used to rely on those informal deals?
That's a really important question. I mean, it gets into market dynamics. The trade-off is clear. Formality often introduces cost. Mm-hmm. There's no denying that. But their position... And this is why the partnership we're talking about exists, is that if the act of hunting itself isn't legally stable, there's zero access for anyone.
Right. Doesn't matter if it's free if you can't do it at all.
Exactly. And the CEO of AHLA, J.T. Krieger, he speaks to this directly. He says, AHLA and SA share the same commitment and drive to serve hunters and landowners. For them, making the decision to continue support was, in his words, an easy decision.
Stability as the ultimate form of service.
I think so.
Which is a perfect pivot to the other half of this, the advocacy side, the Sportsman's Alliance.
Okay.
So AHLA is the risk management team. They ensure the operation is smooth, insured, professional. But none of that matters if the legal right to hunt disappears.
Right. That's where SA comes in. If AHLA builds the operating system for access, SA fights to keep the power grid on.
I like that analogy. So tell me about their history.
Well, their roots are deep in advocacy. It all goes back to a very specific Ohio trapping issue in 1977.
Just one state-level issue.
One state-level skirmish. But it was significant because it signaled that local and state laws could have these massive, you know,
ripple effects.
Huge national implications. It could set a dangerous precedent if they lost that fight.
That's fascinating. So how has their mission grown from that one issue?
Well, today the source material calls them the country's leading advocate for sportsmen. The mission is pretty clear. Protect and advance the heritage of hunting, fishing, trapping, and shooting.
Okay, pretty broad.
It is, but what's really critical, and this is why they need the funding from partners like AHLA, is the sheer scope of their work, geographically and legally.
It's not just a lobbying group in D.C., then?
Oh, not at all. They're everywhere.
Okay.
The source details that they engage in the fight in all 50 state legislatures.
All 50?
In the courts, in Congress, and at the ballot box.
Wow.
And that state focus is so key, because the anti-hunting movements often focus on state-level referendums or local ordinances. They'll target one method or one species in one state at a time.
It's an incremental strategy.
It is. It's death by a thousand cuts, which means SA has to be on 50 different battlefields at once. They're constantly playing legal defense, regulatory offense, and political outreach.
And the source material connects this to the bigger picture, saying that as the Sportsmen's Alliance's work gets stronger, the opposition, the animal rights movement, has grown right along with it.
Yeah, it's an escalating conflict.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
An arms race, almost.
It really is. And this is why that partnership with AHLA is so vital. Brian Dowler, he's the VP of membership for the Sportsmen's Alliance, he says that SA is a small organization that punches way above its weight.
I love that phrase.
Me too.
Yeah.
And it highlights that they're completely dependent on support from donors and business partners like AHLA to maintain that comprehensive coverage across the entire country.
That makes perfect sense. The fight is just too widespread and, let's face it, too well-funded by the opposition for them to handle it with just individual donations.
No way. They need commercial partners who are invested in the outcome.
And AHLA is definitely invested.
Of course. You're funding the operational certainty of your own customer base. HLA's customers pay for leases and insurance because they want to hunt. If SA loses the right to hunt in, say, Pennsylvania,
AHLA loses an entire market.
An entire market segment. The financial incentive for AHLA is directly tied to SA's success in courtrooms and state houses. It's that simple.
Okay, so let's connect the missions, because I think this is where the real insight is. We have AHLA on one side, handling the practical commercial safety infrastructure.
The nuts and bolts.
The nuts and bolts. And then SA is handling the legal defense, making sure the right to access even exists. So how does AHLA's business model actually strengthen SA's arguments?
This is the critical point. AHLA doesn't just write a check. They provide legitimacy.
Mm-hmm.
They provide evidence of responsible behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So when SA goes to court or testifies before a legislature, they aren't just arguing about tradition or heritage anymore. They can point to a formalized industry, the HLA model, and say, look,
this isn't the Wild West.
This isn't the Wild West. Access is contractual. Liability is professionally managed with extensive insurance. Landowners are being educated on habitat preservation.
So in other words, the anti-hunting movement often frames the activity as, you know, unregulated, reckless, purely recreational.
Easy to legislate away.
Right. But AHLA's existence reframes it as managed, regulated, professionalized commerce that's tied directly to private property rights.
Exactly. It completely shifts the debate. It makes it so much harder to argue for a complete ban when you're arguing against a structured, insured, educational framework that protects private property.
It's a self-reinforcing loop.
It is. The source says HLA is committed to supporting SA specifically to help keep hunting rights and access available for their own customers. The success of the lease market depends entirely on the stability of the legal environment SA fights for.
Which makes the value proposition for you, the listener, incredibly clear. If you're involved in this world or even just curious about how these outdoor economies survive, this alliance is a highly strategic model.
It's comprehensive. They've covered the three pillars of stability.
Mm-hmm.
Operational professionalization.
Financial risk mitigation.
And relentless, multi-venue, political and legal defense.
And it seems like they're trying to grow that defense continuously. The source material doesn't just end there.
No. It's a clear call to action. It encourages their customers to go visit the Sportsman's Alliance website, keep up on the issues, and find out how to get involved.
No, so they're deliberately channeling commercial engagement back into political capital?
Constantly reinforcing the advocacy side with the customer base from the operational side. It's a really smart model.
Okay, that brings us to our final takeaway. If you had to distill the main insight from this source material, from this really specific niche partnership, what's the most essential thing for us to carry forward?
I think it's a lesson that advocacy today, it just can't survive on grassroots emotion alone. It needs operational rigor. These two organizations show that securing the future of a traditional activity means combining that professional commercial infrastructure, you know, the ironclad leases, the liability insurance, with sophisticated, high-level advocacy.
Conducted everywhere at once.
Conducted everywhere all at the same time. It's that merger of business certainty and political defense that ensures longevity.
A truly comprehensive approach. And as we leave you to think about this deep dive, let's consider the challenge that's kind of implied in the source material.
Okay.
SA themselves say that their growth is mirrored by the growth of the animal rights movement. So how does this increased focus on formalizing land access AHLA's entire business change that decades-long debate over outdoor heritage?
That's a great question.
It suggests that the future of this activity hinges less on arguments about tradition and maybe more on its verifiable role as legitimate insured commerce.
And a critical component of property rights defense.
A powerful shift in the argument for anyone engaged in this space.
Absolutely. The terms of the debate have fundamentally changed.
We hope this deep dive helped you get well informed quickly. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.